All right, TNA recap in just a second, but we'll start with the news of, I guess, the higher-ups in Anthem have decided to get rid of Scott D'Amore. Does this pain you?
With the booking I've seen so far, no.
I remember when I first said, hey, we're going to start wrestling podcast back up. Let's go the TNA route. And one of the first things you said is, Scott D'Amore still there? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, he's been there, what is he, on and off for like 10, 15 years or something?
Yeah.
And nothing great has happened.
No, like I said, if it's been a good match, it's been because the wrestlers pulled one out of it. It wasn't because of any setup or anything like that.
No real concrete reason I can tell so far of why they got rid of him. I just hear bits and pieces, and I think it's hearsay as of right now. But kind of what the main thing I would say that you're hearing is he kind of feels like they were starting to get on a roll, and he wanted to up the budget. He's tried to do this before, and they've said no. And if that is the case, then he might as well get out anyway, because if they're not going to raise the budget on this, I mean, they're already in small arenas, small crowds. I mean, the crowd, this show, I will say, the crowd wasn't as hot as previous weeks.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, they were
dead.
Yeah, this definitely wasn't a hot crowd. But if they're not going to put any more money into this than what we see, it's probably time to get out, because there's got to be a handful of indies that draw more than this, right? I mean, without me looking, I mean. Yeah.
Well, the 12 things, anytime they don't want to increase the budget, but they want to keep the same thing going, to me, that smells of, we're going to sell this property pretty soon.
Yeah, and please never to WWE, because they don't need the library. No. You know, it's a shame that they have as much of the library that they do of the older stuff. And that, you know, WCW gave them all their stuff for, you know, nothing, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I don't know, they don't do it justice, so. But I don't know who's really taking over. They still have some other wrestlers that I guess are in creative that could probably do just about the same thing, if not better. Because, I mean, I think the one thing that's lacking here is creative. Like, you just said off air, it's like the matches and stuff aren't so bad. It's everything around it. It's, you know, the promos or the storylines. It's just not hitting with you. And I think that's D'Amore. I think they said that he's kind of the be-all, end-all. He approves everything. So that's on him, I would say.
I don't know what – I'm not sure what I would do particularly that he's doing different. I mean, I'd make – if you're going to – the thing that got me is the it happens a lot in pro wrestling, especially smaller ones, where they go, hey, all of a sudden this little interference thing is a match. It's like, why? Explain why. Because no one gave a shit about seeing Deaner against PCO.
Well, speaking of interference, let's get to the TNA recap. Chris Sabin wrestles John Skyler. I don't even think they said this guy's name last week. So now we find out it's John Skyler.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Jason Hotch. Yeah, what'd you think about this? I mean, Sabin's always going to have a pretty solid match with whoever.
Yeah. He's good. Like I said, it was watchable. It was fine.
Well, some interference, you know, some interference.
Yeah.
But in the end, Chris Sabin wins. I don't think the roster is like also it's I don't think it's big enough to do a whole lot different either. I mean, you know what I mean? Without running constant rematches and stuff. So maybe he was a little hamstrung, you know, a little bit, not to, you know, totally shit on D'Amore, but
yeah. Again, with the budget, if you can't attract even indie talent to even just refresh things every once in a while, you're not going to have much for very long.
Tasha Steeles, Zaya Brookside.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
This one, usually I try to catch it when it's broadcast. And if barring that, I've got a source that I can, you know, watch it on. this one I caught while it was being broadcast, and about the only thing I can say for it is the TNA girls seem to know how to wrestle and put a match together as far as being smooth. There's a lot less botching or awkward crap than I've seen a lot of WWE matches. But beyond that, it's, again, they got the same thing going on. It's, hey, it's a match, whoopity-doo. And you got someone who's an asshole and someone who's a good guy. Yay. Seen it 100 times.
There was cheating, pulling of the tights.
Do what?
I said there was cheating, the pulling of the tights. That's how yes. that yes. ended. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Clean is for some reason is verboten. You can't do it for some reason. Heel can't just be good enough to beat the good guy.
More Frankie Kazarian. He gets confronted by Jake something. Again, this is the stuff you would just like to see cut out or done better, correct?
Yeah, if it leads to something, but I doubt that it's going to.
Zachary Especially Wentz. Yeah, Zachary Wentz, Mike Bailey. This, you know, pretty good.
This one I thought was a pretty good match.
Interference, of course.
Pretty good match. Yeah, I didn't know who the hell Trent Seven was, but he came down, then Macklin came down, then it's, you know, and Nemeth, that it sounds like. This is, to me, look like the good old, hey, next week you guys are going to have a 3-man tag match.
What I don't understand is, like, on any given week, TNA seems to, like, they do the same thing multiple times a show. Like, if someone's going to run in, they're going to have multiple run-ins, like, all show. If there's going to be interference, there's going to be interference all show. They don't spread it out, not, like, once a show or anything. It seems like they get on with something, and it's going to be literally every match. That's weird to me. But anyway, Zach Wentz ends up beating Mike Bailey after the interference. And like you said, you know, Nemeth, who needs to, you know, I hate to say it, but he needs to be on multiple segments, especially if you're going to put the system on multiple segments. Put Nemeth as long as he's there. Just he's the only guy that's really oozing, you know, star to me.
Yeah, he could elevate other people by, you know, being with them in some way besides run-ins.
We find out as Crazy Steve and Rhino is angry. Do you
That's
care?
That's a new thing for Rhino.
Really showing another side to his character.
Yeah. He was perpetual. He had something jammed his ass sideways his entire career. He's pissed all the time. Yeah, and I don't know why, other than he's perpetually angry, why is he pissed at Crazy Steve in the first place? Because it seems that a couple weeks ago with the promo, Steve was cut and Rhino came out and, you know, tried to knock it off. I don't get, maybe I missed what went on before, but why is he pissed? You need to explain that, besides Rhino just being perpetually pissed.
I think they said that if you watched Explosion, you knew.
If
only anyone did. Next match.
Here, watch this channel that isn't on very many cable systems, and then here, get online to watch the rest of it.
I think you have to have Impact Plus now. I don't even think it's on YouTube. I might be wrong, you know, whatever. Next match, big problems in my book with this match. Giselle Shaw and Savannah Evans taking on Trinity and Jordan Grace. The heel team of Shaw and Evans, they bring down a guy, you know, to interfere, believe it or not. It backfired. I don't know if Tony Khan called up Scott D'Amore and said, hey, if someone's leaving your company, book them strong.
Yeah.
How stupid is this? She's leaving. You took her in when the other guys didn't want her, made her a star, put the belt on her. She's now going back. So you have her not only, you know, her team win, but her personally get the win. That's stupid to me.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. I didn't expect it. I think this is just like, well, we still got her, so let's use her. You know?
Don't have her win. You know, you can have tights or tights, DQ, something. Not have her win by tap out. What does that do for the... I don't know. I guess it probably doesn't hurt it. It's TNA, whatever. But I'm just saying it doesn't make the other girl look good. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why that pissed me off, but...
The points are made up and nothing matters.
Yeah. Improv. And then they said Giselle fired her associates. Whatever. That's fine. I might as well.
Meh.
Diener, he's not dead, we find out, even getting his neck snapped. So he's in the back, and here we go. Top Dollar's in the back. And they're using him about as good as you can, to be honest. So that's a plus.
Yeah.
And then, boom, you finally see the guy you said, what happened to Joe Hendry? Well, he's finally back. So, and this was a funny little segment that, I don't know. I mean, Diener, you know, was all cultish and scary, and now he's in, you know, comedy routines just a couple weeks afterwards, so.
Yeah.
Khan video package to fire you up, man. Khan's the next big monster, don't you agree? No? Okay.
Big monster. The next Sominex.
Squash two guys. Who comes out? Come on now, who comes out? Who's doctors? And this is actually, this I actually liked, because he didn't wait for the doctors to completely shock him back, you know, to life or whatever. He met him at the table to where when he, you know, raised up like the Undertaker, started beating on him. So I liked that. Far as the 10-minute brawl, maybe it wasn't 10 minutes. Felt like an eternity. Again, TNA, the longest 2 hours in wrestling. It just, these two guys, it was just bad worked punches. Khan versus PCO, man. Like, please. If you, you know, catch someone that won't talk about a murder, put them in front of this, you know. He'll talk. Put it on a loop. He'll sing like a bird.
It was me. I kidnapped the Lindbergh baby.
You're right.
Back in 1933.
Good. I mean, am I wrong? It's just like two not very mobile dudes. Just, I don't know. It's what. Well, I mean, a PCO does hit the moonsault. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it's not poetry in motion. You know what I mean?
No. And if it was more brutal or something, or if they led to something worse, where they're really going to screw each other up in a match, that might be worth doing. But just slappity, sluggity, smackity, who cares?
Alan Angels, owner of the worst wrestling talk show I've ever seen. That's saying something. Yeah. Taking on Josh Alexander. Any thoughts about this match? Attacked him before the bell is kind of what I liked, you know. I think that made sense.
Yeah. And for the most part, it was, you know, I get tired of the faces being so gullible all the time. Being a good guy doesn't mean you have to be stupid. And they keep falling for every stupid, tired heel trick, you know, dumb distractions or, you know, they turn their back on the guy. It's like, stop doing that.
How big?
I know he's a weasel and everything, but he's already shown he's kind of treacherous, so don't give him an opening.
How big of a cool down off beating Will Ospreay is this?
It's gonna put him in suspended animation. He's gonna cool him off so much.
You're deep freeze this guy. Hey, you just beat Will Ospreay, arguably having the best matches in the world. But now you got Alan Angels. And you're going to be attacked by Simon Gotch afterwards.
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Kind of out of nowhere, but I'm surprised he still has the handlebar mustache, and he's still got this. Did he own the Simon Gotch name? Because that's usually the kind of thing WWE's like, nah, that's ours. Go figure something else out.
Was he Simon Gotch in WWE?
Yeah, for the vaudevillains.
Oh, was he? I don't. Okay.
Yeah, he was one of the vaudevillain guys.
Yeah, and Aiden English or
weird
whatever.
Gimmick anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and the other dude that's married to Guerrero's kid.
Yeah. And who's the announcer for TNA? He does the color commentary.
The guy that sounds like Disco Inferno?
Yeah, you're talking about.
That's what I thought it was when I first tuned in. Like, oh fuck, is Disco on this? I don't know if I want to watch it.
Oh man, I see he can't be hired by anybody. But yeah, I forget his real name for some reason. But Aiden English, the guy that used to like randomly sing opera or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, he's the color commentator. I forget his shoot name for whatever reason. But
yeah, I don't know. But he's
Wow.
He reminds me of a Disco Inferno verbally, you know, in my ear. And I'm like, oh, God, shut up. And he does the stupid heel announcer. I hate heel announcer shit anymore because it's not done well.
Well, I actually have grown to love Nigel McGuinness on Collision.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. Fucking awesome. And, he's British, so, you know, that helps, right?
Yeah.
But especially during a Bryan Danielson match, oh my God, he's just perfect, dude.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Speaking of which, just to veer off for a second, did you see the Bryan Danielson Hechicero match?
Yes. Awesome.
That was really good.
That was awesome. And I had never seen Hechicero before. I've never seen that guy.
No, I didn't either.
His hands are like the size of skillets, though. Did you notice that? I don't know if. I was like, man,
for
he didn't see.
Guy, he's pretty hefty.
Yeah, and he did topes, and of course they all do. I mean, yeah. I'm telling you, there's so many Lucha Libre wrestlers you have no clue who they are, or where they came from. They're awesome, just top of the food chain, awesome. But yeah, that match was great, dude. My God. But what I love about that.
But anyway.
But yeah, well, anyway. Just real quick though, what I love about that is the Nigel McGuinness thing. Bryan Danielson does the surfboard stretch, and Nigel McGuinness goes, you know, SOS, you know, same old shit, right? That's what he was getting at.
Well,
right?
Shit, yeah.
And then just Zero does it, and he goes, "Oh, this is awesome!" And Tony Schiavone goes, "Didn't we just see this?" And he's like, "Great maneuver." I mean, that's great. You know, it's because when you're at that point, even if you have kind of a stale match, you still tune in to hear what he's going to say. And that's kind of like King and JR stuff, like from back in the day when you can.
Or like Heenan.
Yes, exactly.
Heenan would be like, even if it's a crap match, he'll make it entertaining by just talking over it.
Heenan's still my favorite of all time, I think, with color. Just amazing.
I cannot find. There was one where Lou Ferrigno was at a WrestleMania or some kind of pay-per-view, and he sat there and cut a promo or something, and Heenan says, I couldn't understand the word he said. He sounded like he was eating crackers.
No, that.
Holy shit. I can't find that online anywhere. That is one of the most hilarious things ever.
Ash by Elegance. Still promos. You're still getting excited, I know.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
Main events. Eddie Edwards of the System. Again, man, the System. So such a bad little group of guys. Just
I don't see the sense in them.
It just I don't know. And Eddie Edwards, you know, I have no room to talk, but it looks like he's let himself go just a tad. Maybe that's why he's got the shirt on.
Yeah, he's gotten a little beefier since I saw him with the Wolves?
Yeah.
Yeah, back in those days. He's gotten a little beefier.
A little beefier.
Saying all that too, this was a pretty good match too. They I don't know if he's got really strong legs, but again, they were working on his legs a lot. Alex Shelley was working his legs over a lot in this match, and it didn't really come to much of anything.
Sometimes matches will do that just to fill time.
Yeah.
And that's annoying. You know what I mean? Because.
Yeah. It's like you think it's going to build to something. You're building a little bit of a story there, and it's just like, no, I'm just beating the shit out of his legs, and it doesn't seem to do anything.
You got to love a good roll-up for a win, though. Right?
No, I do not.
No, I hate that.
It's just it's a tired maneuver.
Like, stop. I mean, it just ruins it. I don't care who won after that. I really don't.
No.
Either way, don't care. But Alex Shelley defeats Eddie Edwards, which that's the right call. I think Shelley is more the star at this point. Of course, right. Brian Myers immediately gets in there. Kushida's out there. Kevin Knight does a good dive to the outside.
Yep. And again, smells like another three-man tag match set up if they want it. But it's just practically the same situation as before with Nemeth and Macklin and all those dudes.
Overall, what'd you give this episode? I think we're still trudging downhill now since the relaunch.
Like I said, there was again decent matches. So I'd give it if I'm giving it the old Meltzer, I'll say maybe 2 stars. Maybe it was entertaining enough as far as the matches went, but the rest of the crap I could do without.
See, and we really don't review some of the backstage stuff because it's just so menial. It's not good. It's just pointless.
No.
So I kind of skim over that.
It's retread. It's stuff you've seen before for the most part. Like I said, I wish the Hendry thing. I'll have to try to see if I can find the Hendry thing only to see how it was. Like I said, his video segment with the Cheez-It champion, that actually made me laugh.
Yeah.
So if that's a good funny gimmick where you can edit some videos together to basically cut the promo for you, that's not a bad change of pace.
It was a funny segment.
Yeah,
worth watching.
I'll find it.
Wrestler of the week, mine goes to PCO.
The boat anchor.
Yeah. who do you got?
The human boat anchor. Well, I was impressed with the Speedball. Is that his name? Bailey?
Yeah.
Yeah, him and, of course, Kevin Knight last time. The two guys are got potential. And, again, I don't know why we're not. I guess they don't have a lot of X-Division high flyers floating around, so that's why they're downplaying that a little bit.
They were really hyping up their partnership with AAA on that pay-per-view. Maybe bring a couple of them boys in.
Shoot, yeah. Just hey, come up here and stay a month and work a program and go away. Come back in another month. It's something. Just break it up because it seems like we're seeing the same people every week.
But like you said,
to some degree,
that X Division. What was there? That 6-man scramble match, and then nothing since, right? Or am I forgetting
right.
anything? I'm pretty sure nothing since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing to speak of. They haven't even mentioned it as an X Division match. The only thing the X Division they mentioned was, what's her name? Giselle Fadaw got it in a women's X Division match. And apparently they're still letting you use that as a ticket to get a title shot, which I think is a good idea. But other than that, they don't even talk about it. Like I said, that was their bread and butter for the longest time.
Next week, ABC, Grizzled Young Vets in match 2. Gee, who will win that? Moose and Kushida. And then your boy, Rhino, taking on Crazy Steve.
Rhino.
Man. What will happen?
But is this strictly going to be on Impact or whatever? Or is this going to be Explosion? Because I know that Crazy Steve.
No, I think
Rhino thing happened on it.
Yeah, no, I think they're switching it to the Big Show now, you know, for the digital media title championship. Internet, blue light, AOL disc.
The blue light special belt.
Come on. How TNA sounding is that? Like,
yeah.
My goodness.
I'm waiting for you to put something on the poll.